Yeah. Good to see the team spirit. Bears play at 6:30 today, I think. IU tomorrow night. So tune in and root them on. So got to work, though, a little bit. This side's getting a little heavy, but this side's still a little light. You need to work on that. So balance this out a little bit. We about had a catastrophe this morning when some seats were kind of messed up this morning, but we made it through, so. Oh, things going on in the world today. I want to talk a little bit about justice and a little bit about wisdom today. And you know, I question whether we have a lot of wisdom today. We're seeking justice, but is it the right kind? Is it the real kind? And you know, a lot of it's based on, you know, wisdom is based on our experience, you know, what we've experienced, what we've learned. So you got to take in mind where people come from. The first grade teacher decided she would kind of try this out and see what would happen. So she gave her first grade students a list of what we call them proverbs or sayings, you know, like the first one's better to be safe than. Sorry, okay. That's what she did to the students. Now, these are first graders, so they can only go by their experience and their knowledge. So these were some of the answers that they came up with. So better to be safe than to punch a fifth grader. Don't want to punch a fifth grader if you're in the first grade. You know, strike while the iron's hot, you know, is what we would say. But a first grader says strike while the bug's close. You know, it's always darkest before daylight savings time. Never underestimate the power of termites. You can lead a horse to water, but how? You don't understand how you can lead a horse to water if you're in the first grade. Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. No news is, we think it's good news, but first graders is it's impossible. No news is impossible. If you lie down with the dogs, you'll stink in the morning. An idle mind is the best way to relax. This one's close. Where there's smoke, they use pollution. I like this one. Happy the bride who, I'm not even sure I know the answer to that one. Happy the bride who, they pick, gets all the presents. A penny saved is, we'd say a penny earned, not a first grader. First grader says, not much. Don't put off till tomorrow what? You put on to go to bed. Laugh and the whole world laughs and with you cry and you have to blow your nose. This one should be easy to figure out. Children should be seen and not heard. But what do you think they said? Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. And if at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. So wisdom, you know, comes in different flavors, and it's based on our experience in things. But the actual definition of wisdom that I looked up says the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Some call it common sense. Some may call it having insight. But I think we gain wisdom a lot of times through mistakes and failures. You know, we learned that when you touch that hot stove, you get told all the times, don't touch it, it's hot, and until you touch it, and then you learn that you shouldn't have done that. That's, you gain wisdom, you gain knowledge and wisdom there. Or maybe you like speeding, like some people in green-type cars do, zipping down the road, and until, not any, until you maybe get a ticket. Ooh, I learned not supposed to go fast. Or at least you gain wisdom on where not to go fast at. maybe a fender bender. You know, people all the time looking at their phones or doing something and have an issue with the car. Recipes. I don't need that ingredient. I'll just substitute this one. Might not turn out so well. Not listening to instruction. Like in school, not paying attention. Then the test comes. Should have paid attention. Sports teams, a lot of times. They always gain. I don't know how many gain wisdom from wins. They gain wisdom from losses. They see where they need to improve, what they need to do different. Where wins, everything's good. I'm good. I don't need anything. But through the losses, we gain wisdom. But knowledge and education and those things aren't enough to gain wisdom. You know, because we can touch that hot stove again. We forget sometimes. We may not listen again. I guarantee you that. We don't listen and things come up. And we fail that test again or don't do as well as we could have. I think wisdom's more, a better definition is how we correctly use the knowledge and experiences we have to make proper decisions. We have to. That's wisdom. Knowledge is one thing. We can know a lot of stuff, but if we don't use wisdom to make our judgments and our decisions, it's not enough just for knowledge and education. As I see, look around the world today, I struggle with seeing a lot of wisdom in the world today, especially with the things going on recently with law enforcement and ICE and other things. It's just poor. It's uninformed. It's incorrect. It's based on false premises that these decisions are taking place. It's not on truth, but it's on what we decide to believe. I don't doubt they're desiring a justice. I think they are. I truly believe they are. But the justice they're looking at isn't a true justice. It's big on a term we call social justice, but not true justice. This isn't to downplay we need to treat everybody the same and look out for people. That's not what it's about. But they're using this term for other things. And to be on their own, to take things in their own hands. I'm going to start out with one you've probably read before, but it's Romans 13, verses 1 through 5. Romans 13, 1 through 5. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. You know, there's godly wisdom and there's worldly wisdom. And unfortunately, worldly wisdom is mostly what we see today. It's what we're shown. It's what seems to be more prevalent because that's what's thrown at us all the time. On the news, on television, on social media and stuff. That's what we see. We see worldly wisdom and not godly wisdom. You know, God ordained government entities to rule, to create order. God is a God of order, not of chaos. It doesn't say we need to obey if the government's telling us to do things against God's word. But otherwise, we're to be responsible to the government. And I don't see wisdom being used as far as the government's concerned. I think part of it over the years has come from university teachings. You know, we should do critical thinking. Critical thinking is a good idea. I think critical thinking should be when things happen, there's an objective analysis that an evaluation of the issue that we do. in order to make a judgment about what's happened. And wisdom to slow down, to see all the evidence, to evaluate the conditions, and then come to a reasonable conclusion. I think that's critical thinking. But we've turned it into critical theory, and where it teaches everything is controlled by a select few. It's division. It's generally an oppressor and somebody being oppressed. We've divided it up. It teaches there's good guys and bad guys, but it's already predetermined before the action happens. They already know. We already know who it is based on social and political structures. So that when things happen, everyone thinks they already know the truth behind it. Wisdom's missing. Godly wisdom is missing. And evil always copies God. Always has, always will. Always mimics what God does. You know, the Trinity. We know God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, Satan has his own Trinity. Satan himself, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. You know, God is light. Satan masquerades as light. He doesn't have anything new to offer. He can only try to offset or mimic what God does. Well, evil continues to offer the same thing in the social justice realm, too. You know, as incidents happen, you know, word gets around. Specific videos make the rounds, and people don't. We talked about downstairs, you know, when things happen, do you reflect or do you react? Well, people should reflect, should take anything into account, but they don't. They react. And that's not wisdom. To immediately react. It's instant anger. And they're assured that they know the absolute truth of what happened, why, and then they attempt to control the narrative, they attempt to control government intervention. But again, Satan is the great deceiver who we know comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And he comes to separate, he comes to divide, he comes to tear us apart. And this goes on. You know, this setting goes on until the truth is finally confirmed, which is generally a lot later in time, but the damage is already done. Then the same thing happens again. And then the same thing happens again. And again. False statements and actions by those who don't seek wisdom starts the process all over again, causing death and destruction. All seeking what they believe to be justice. But it's a false justice. It's because godly wisdom gave way to worldly wisdom, which isn't wisdom at all. It's a series of lies and half-truths to stir up evil. You know, in Isaiah 59, verses 3 and 4, I think God talks about some people that stir up evil. Isaiah 59, 3 and 4 says, "For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil." You know, I think there is true justice that aims to treat everyone fairly according to the circumstances. But a lot of times, social justice just seeks to create division. You know, it organizes community groups that create victims, create political enemies, criticizes anyone who disagrees with them, and criticizes those who leave their group. You know, it's typically anti-Christian. It's against God's word. It argues for acceptance and advocacy in any kind of immigration, wealth distribution, cultural division, gender affirmation, and marriage laws. You know, the United States used to be known as the melting pot. You know, when you melt something, it all goes together. But that's not what we are. You know, they used to come together, and their cultures would assimilate with American cultures, and we would all get better. You know, it would enrich all of us and benefit all of us. But they want multiculturalism now. It's division, where people remain separate and distinct in themselves. And they live in certain places together. They keep their same language together. It's separate and divide. It's what we're they're still pushing for. The opposite of unity. God wants unity in his people. God doesn't want division. Unity is important. You know, the church is supposed to make a difference. It's supposed to share God's words. It's supposed to share God's ways. The church is supposed to influence politics. But we've let politics influence the church. You know, we see church splits because of that. We've seen it over the years. And honestly, I can't, as sad as it is to see the church split over these things, I'm thankful because some people actually stay faithful to God and his word. People who take a stand for God's word. So they start again, sticking with God's word. Got a few verses left and then we'll have an invitation. Just a few verses to go along with wisdom and thing. You know, John 7:24 says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. You know, most people still, even though it's all going on, they automatically believe everything they see. And we've learned you can't believe everything you see. You can't believe everything you hear. I saw it, so it must be true. And as AI gets stronger and stronger, it'll become worse and worse. People believing what they see. AI will make it worse with false images, false words. We have to use wisdom in what we see. Proverbs 28:4-5. Those who forsake instruction praise the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. It's a difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. The Holy Spirit helped receive the truth. Those still in the world can't see the truth. They can only see what's in front of them. Leviticus 19:15. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. True justice treats people fairly and equally. Are we perfect? Probably not. But our Constitution is set up for all to be equal in the eyes of the law. You know, Lady Justice, she has scales. You know, you weigh both sides of the scales, but you know Lady Justice is blindfolded. She can't see clothing or skin color or any of those things that may affect that decision. Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoers. Now, godly justice made with wisdom brings joy to those who are righteous. Worldly justice has no wisdom. Worldly justice just creates chaos. Our final verse is James 3:13-18. James 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, the church needs to get back to godly wisdom and showing what true wisdom is. And we are the church. It's each and every one of us. And worldly wisdom, as the Bible said, it's unspiritual. But it's worse than that. It's demonic. It's Satan having his way with our country and our people. And we need to pray for wisdom in our church, wisdom in our lives, So we can stay strong in the Lord and speak the truth and act like we know the truth. And our job is to tell the truth to others. And we need to get back to that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It pertains to so much today, as well as yesterday, and it pertains to tomorrow. And we just ask that you help us to understand it, to take it with us, to give us your wisdom in each of our daily lives, Lord, that we can act like we have your wisdom, that we can draw people to you, that we can help provide your wisdom to others, Lord. Lord, the other wisdom is deceived by the evil one. It's deceived and drawing on a justice that just isn't just. So, Lord, we ask you to intercede for our country, for those towns and cities that are going through such turmoil, Lord. We just pray that you would intercede, that your spirit would manifest itself in tremendous ways in these places. They would see the light and would see the truth and would shun the evil one, Lord. Lord, we pray for these people that you would lift them up, that you would just show them yourself. Lord, we thank you that we can see the truth, that we can understand the truth because you've given us your wisdom. Lord, we just pray for each one. Just help us to be strong in it. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.